So when she came in this morning, one of our faith pointers, Diana Long, shared with me, she said, you know, when I was driving into work today, driving into church today, interesting, I made that slip. She said, you know, it just occurred to me, it's kind of sad that Sunday morning isn't like what it's like going to work during the week. And I said, well, you know, the reality is, statistics tell us that on any given Sunday, only about 17% of the population is in church. Only about 17%. What does that tell me? We got a lot of work to do. What else does that tell me? I'm glad you're here. I am so glad that you have chosen to come and worship with us today and that you are part of our church family, whether it's your first time with us or whether you have been a long-time faith pointer. We are really glad that you are here today. Today, we are bringing to a close a sermon series that I have simply entitled The Road to Recovery, where we have been looking at the steps or the principles, things that we see in a program that we, again, kicked off on Monday called Celebrate Recovery. It's a program that started by Saddleback Church over 25 years ago, and now it's literally on every continent. Hundreds of thousands of people have found healing and wholeness and wellness through this program and being connected to a church. And so the reason that we're doing this is kind of twofold. Number one is to just increase the awareness, for us to see that the reality is that we needed to start a program like this. We needed to start a ministry like this, because Celebrate Recovery is only in three other churches in the greater Kentuckiana area. So that tells me that, like, the field is wide open. So we did this so that we could kind of raise that awareness that we got this program. The other is for us to take some time to look at our lives, each one of us, and to realize that each one of us has hurts, habits, and hang-ups that prevent us from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus has for us. Every single one of us has a hurt or many, has a habit or many, or has a hang-up or many that is preventing us from experiencing the abundant life that God has for us. And here's the truth about that. We do that by our choice, by things that we either choose to do, things that we accept to do, things that we got in the habit of doing, things that we might have dabbled with in the past and have become full-blown in our lives now. Because God gives us this amazing capacity to make choices. It's at the heart of his character. But at the heart of God also is reconciliation and redemption and making things right. And so he does a lot of things so that we could be restored in our relationship with him and are restored in our relationship with one another. And I believe that Celebrate Recovery has become one of those ministries literally inspired by God to be used across the planet to help people find hope and help and healing. See, because we have a God. We have a God who is absolutely crazy about us. We have a God who says things like in Isaiah 57, I have seen what they do. I've seen what they do, but I will lead them anyway. I will comfort those who mourn, bringing words of praise to their lips. And he says that to us. He says that to you and me. I have seen what you do, but I will be with you anyways. I will lead you. I will comfort you. I will bring my presence to you. Imagine that. Just imagine that. Imagine the magnitude and the grandeur of that. That our God knows absolutely everything about us. Everything that we have done, everything that we are doing, and everything that we will still yet do. And he still says, I am so crazy about you that I will lead you anyways. I will heal you anyways. I will send my presence. I will send my son to give you the power, to give you the capacity, to give you the ability to find healing and wholeness, to give you the opportunity to experience the abundant life that I created you to experience. Isn't that spectacular? I mean, really. Think about that. A God who knows everything about you and me. and says, but I will heal you anyway. I'll lead you, I'll comfort you. And not just leave you there, but move us to the other side of those hurts and habits and hang-ups where we actually can praise him. Imagine that. What God wants to do. See, the truth is we all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups that God wants to bring hope and help and healing to. And the list is exhaustive, isn't it? It is exhaustive. It could be addictions. It could be mediocrity. It could be compulsions. It could be unforgiveness. It could be apathy. God, I'll make time for you when it makes time for me. That we all have these hurts and habits and hang-ups that prevent us from experiencing the abundant life that God has for us. The list, I mean, seriously, we could spend days coming up with new things on this list or relabel them for how they work with us. Because we all got our stuff. But we have a God who loves us in spite of our stuff. We have a God who actually loves us to the point that he wants us to overcome our stuff, to find the hope and the help and the healing so we don't have to be what we've been. We don't have to do what we've done. We don't have to go where we've been. That we have the opportunity and the capacity to walk in abundance. Now, does that guarantee everything's great? No, not by a long shot, not on this side of eternity. But it can be better. Is there a single person in this room that would say, you know, I kind of don't really want anything to be better? Do any of us look at our lives and go, it is so good. I don't need anything else to be better. If that's you, please make an appointment with me because I will help you face reality. Because we all have it. And everybody else does. And so we got to figure out how to move to the other side where we actually find the capacity and the opportunity to praise God. That he has brought us through the storm to the other side. Or that he has carried us in the midst of the storm. Sometimes he calms us. Sometimes he calms the storm. But he is always with us. And so we have this unlimited capacity and opportunity to tap into that. And so the question is, do you? Like, will you? You know, we often stay so comfortable in our stuff. I call it the Eeyore syndrome. You know Eeyore, right? We get so comfortable in that stuff. It becomes normative for us. I don't think God wants us to stay in that kind of normal. I think God wants to give us a new normal all the time because he will continue to reveal new stuff to us that he's like, okay, you've gotten through that. Now let's do another thing and let's do another thing and let's do another thing so that we can move towards this amazing healing and wholeness. And so over the course of the last 8 weeks, we have been looking at these principles, these biblical principles for the road to recovery. And they are the same principles for every single one of us, no matter what our thing is on that list. They are all the same. We all move towards recovery in the same way. And so for those of you who haven't been here all 8 weeks, I'm going to do a really fast run through here. And I would encourage you that if you hear one of these and you're like, oh, I need more on that. Number one, come check out our Celebrate Recovery on Monday nights. Number two, go online and listen to the message and see what God might want to speak to you through there. But the summary of the road to recovery, I want to hit them really fast because they are so crucial to where we're going to land this thing today. Because when we land this thing today, I'm going to ask you, do you want that? Do you really want help and hope and healing? Because you know what? Jesus knew that there were a lot of people who might say no. As a matter of fact, he tells this great story about this guy who was sick for a long, long time, laying beside this pool, waiting and waiting and waiting. And you could just look at him and see that, man, life stunk for him. You could just look at him and see it. And Jesus comes up to him and he says, "What do you want?" Now, we can look at that and go, "Okay, I thought you were like all-knowing." And he is all-knowing, but Jesus wanted him to put what was in his heart on his lips, what was in his head on his lips. He wanted to see if he really wanted that. Like, do you really want to be made well? Because some of us are like him. Some of us will be like, yes. Some of us, nope. I'm really comfortable acting, living like this. And you know why? Because you haven't tasted how good God is. You haven't tasted how amazing Jesus is. And so let's hit them, because I want you to taste it. I want you to feel it. I want you to experience it. I want you to know it. I want you to live it. The first principle was realize that you're not God. That admit that you're powerless to control your tendency to do what is wrong in your life, and that your life is unmanageable. It's the first step of everything and every person that's got a problem. You got to realize, like, I cannot fix this. It's the I got a problem. I'm not God. I'm not all-knowing. I'm not all-powerful. I'm not all-present. And maybe I need to stop acting that way and realize that God can do immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine. Matthew 5:3 says, God blesses those. Did you get, you might, in your message notes, you might want to circle that word blesses. He blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Now, there's a financial poorness, but there's also a poorness in spirit. That God will bless us as we realize we don't have it together. That's kind of weird, isn't it? But isn't that good? So we got to realize that we're not God. Second step, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. Matthew 5:4 says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning was an active thing that people did. And it was a realization that God will bring healing to those who mourn, who let it out. That we have to earnestly believe that our God exists, that he is all-powerful, he is all-knowing, he is all-present, and he wants to do all kinds of amazing things in our lives. But we have to believe that, because he will never force himself on us, ever. He will do end runs, he will bring people into our lives, he will put us in different situations, but he will never force himself on us. We have to choose that. Then we talked about consciously choosing to commit our lives and our wills to Christ's care and control. It's saying yes to that, not my will, but yours, oh God, be done. I will submit myself to you. I will place myself under your authority. You say do, I will obey. In our class this morning, one of our folks said, what's kind of the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? And I said, one of the many things that I said is that when we look at the Old Testament, we see God just telling his people, obey me, obey me, obey me, obey me. Is it because God wants to just create all these rules on us? No. It's because when we obey God, things go better. But we got to choose to do that. If we do not choose the things of God, we are choosing the things of another. So we have to consciously choose the thing. Just like you made the choice yesterday whether or not you were going to be here today. You did not decide that this morning. Because what we do the night before determines what we do that day. I was so appreciative. One of the other guys in our class, after class, said to me, I'm so glad I have a reason to get up on Sundays and come to church. Dude, that like blessed the socks off me. We got to choose to commit our lives and our wills to Christ's care and control, because he's not going to force himself on us. Then we talked about openly examining and confessing our faults to ourselves, to God, and to someone else. That's just coming clean. We got to come clean with our stuff, because we talked about stuff growing in the darkness. it grows in the darkness. But again, Matthew 5, we see these are from a place called the Beatitudes, the being in the right attitude, the Beatitudes that we find in Scripture. In Matthew 5:5, it says, God blesses those who are humble. In other words, he blesses us when we come clean. He blesses us when we just confess our stuff. And we got to get it out in the open. Because if we don't get it out in the open, it's really easy to keep doing it. If we don't get caught, then it's really tough to find recovery from it. That's why sometimes the greatest prayer that we can pray for somebody is, God, break them. Sorry. Break them. Break them to the point where they realize their absolute need for you. And we got to openly confess that, because the Scripture tells us that we, as iron sharpens iron, we come alongside one another, we help one another, we encourage one another, we rebuke one another, we teach one another, we share with one another, we love one another. We need one another, because it is just too hard to do it alone, this thing called life. Then we talked about voluntarily submitting to every change that God wants to make in our lives and humbly ask him to remove our character defects. And we talked about the fact that, wow, that's like really, that character defects. And I don't really want to admit that I have a character defect, but I do. You do. Matthew 5:10 says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. You do right when you realize what you're doing wrong and you come clean about the stuff that you're doing wrong and start doing stuff that's right. And so we got to voluntarily submit to the changes that God wants to make in our lives. And then we talked about evaluating our relationships and offering forgiveness to those who have hurt us and to make amends for the harms I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. I think unforgiveness is one of the great sins of our day. Because I can't tell you how many people over my 20 years in ministry that I've had people say, I cannot forgive them. To my reply, what if God said that to you? I can't forgive you. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean it was okay. Forgiveness doesn't mean I want you to do it again. Forgiveness doesn't mean like, hey, I enjoyed that. But forgiveness saying, I'm going to let go of that. I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm not going to do that. Because we have been told in Scripture that as we have been forgiven, as we forgive, we will be forgiven. God blesses those who are merciful. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. God blesses those who are merciful, and God blesses those who work for peace. We got to work for it, right? Unforgiveness. Again, I think it's a great sin of our day. And for some of us, the place that we're holding ourselves back in our relationship with God and with one another, for some of us, that is the one. I will never forgive you, or I'm never going to. When we ever find ourselves using that word never, that should be like the Kmart blue light special. Should be drawing lots of attention there, because it's not a good thing. Then last week, we talked about reserving a daily time for God, for self-examination, Bible reading, prayer, in order to know God and his will for our life and to gain the power to do that. It's not part of the Beatitudes, but what we understand from Scripture and from life itself is, man, we just got to reserve a time to be with God. We got to ink it, because if we don't ink it, we're not going to think it. And if we don't think it, it's not going to be there in our lives. And we have to make time for our relationship with God. And here's the truth. We make time for the most important things in our lives. We really do. And so have you made time? I got to look at myself all the time and be like, God, am I making time for you? And I'm just like you, man. Life gets so busy. But I got to look at my life and say, man, God, if I make time, like intentional time, not just the drive-by prayer, oh, God, help me here, but like that really intentional time, spending time with God. Do we do that? Because the deeper we spend in relationship with God, the more we're going to know God. And the more we're going to know God, the more he's going to bring blessings into our life. And the more he's going to bring blessings into our life, the more things that we're going to be conformed to his image and not ours. So we got to have time to do that. And then here's the last one. Here's the last step, the last principle, the last thing in the Celebrate Recovery. Number 8, yield myself to God to be used to bring the good news to others by both my example and my words. Yield myself to God to be used by God. Saying, okay, God, I'm going to take this pain, I'm going to take this difficulty, I'm going to take this stuff, and I'm going to yield myself to you to be used by you to help others. Do you know who the best healers are? The wounded healers. The people who have walked your path, the people who have gone through some stuff, the people who have gotten to the other side where praise is on their lips. Because life is hard. Life is hard. And God, for some reason, in his infinite mystery and power, wants us to use our stuff to help other people. And that serves as kind of the springboard for what we're going to talk a little bit in depth this morning about. And it's a tough question. It's a mysterious question. It's a troubling question. It's a hard question. Why does God allow my pain? Why does God allow it? Because we have a God who's all loving, right? Yep, check. We have a God who's all powerful, right? Check. Why does God allow that stuff to happen in our life? Now, we could make a long list. There's a lot of things that we could talk about. Because on one end, it's a complete mystery. And that's the reality of who God is. God knows stuff that we don't know. God does stuff that we don't understand. So part of it is just a mystery. And so we have to live in this degree of uncomfortableness. But there are some things that we can look at and say, but there are certain aspects of my life to see, why is the pain that I'm going through right now, why is it there? And so I want to lift up just a few of these to you. Again, these come from Celebrate Recovery, and they've just been lifted out so that we can help just kind of own this stuff so that we see what it is in our lives. Because we all have these questions, don't we? I think one of the reasons God allows pain in our lives is that, and this is kind of the catch-all one, is that we live in a sin-scarred world. We live in a sin-scarred world. Or we might just say, we live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to bad people. Just stuff happens. We just live in this sin-scarred world. I mean, Jesus said, Jesus, the Savior of our world, the Messiah, God's only Son, says, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. So the reality is, we're just going to have sorrows. We're going to have tough times. And we're all going to come up with this list of questions that we're going to be able to ask Jesus when we stand before him and say, why that? Although my guess is by the time we actually get that, the joy that we're going to experience being in his presence is going to be like, questions? Did I have questions? I don't know. That's just what I'm kind of thinking today. But it's just the reality of our world. We live in this sin-scarred world, and so pain's going to happen. I think number 2 there is that it's because he's given me and everyone else free will. But he says this in Deuteronomy 11, 26 and 27. God says this, look, today I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God. You could continue reading about that. Because what we see in Deuteronomy, like over and 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 over, is this word obey. It's our choice. And so sometimes the bad things happen just because of our free will and the dumb choices that we make. Or the dumb choices that somebody else makes that impacts our lives. Could be family of origin. It could be stuff that we're doing. It could be anything. Now, here's what I want you to do. You can't compartmentalize this one. You can't compartmentalize this pain thing because I also want you, it's why I did the summary of the other things, because I want you to look at this one, even this pain in our lives, to say, okay, but God also says that we're supposed to forgive. God also says that we're supposed to move on. God also says that we've got to recognize our need for him. It's one of the challenges sometimes of whether it's messages or scripture, because we can pull little things out and say, you know what George said? George said, well, let's go. We got to listen to the whole thing. And so the reality is we all have free will. In Romans 6:16, the Apostle Paul says, you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to a righteous living. Again, that essence of choice, right? We have the ability to make the choices. Now, sometimes that's going to take a long time because habits and hurts and hang-ups, they have deep roots, don't they? And so sometimes it takes a while. You got to like keep putting that weed killer on there, right? because you're like, man, that root goes down. Like you ever like weeded your yard and you like pull out a root and you're like, dear goodness gracious. You know, it's like so long. That's a great metaphor for the things in our lives. Sometimes the roots of that stuff, because we've allowed it to go so deep, we might have even fertilized it, that it just goes really deep. And so we got to figure out a way to kind of get over that. So sometimes the pain happens because of free will. Sometimes the pain happens to get our attention, to get our attention. This is kind of one of the mystery ones, I think. In 2 Corinthians 7:9, the Apostle Paul says, the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. Again, sometimes in God's mystery and his sovereignty, sometimes he allows this pain to happen in our lives just as his way to go, hey, you see the choices you're making? You see the choices of the people around you are making? Let's work on that. We got to work on that. We got to get past that. And if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, 1,000 times. For many of us, this attention thing is really big, because as I've often said, is that we don't change until the pain of the same is greater than the pain of the change. Until we look at the stuff and saying, you know, the pain of the same, man, it's like pretty much in the toilet. It really stinks. And I need to do something about it, because the pain of the change is less than that. That's really when change happens, when you say, I am not content with this anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm done with this. I want to do this. And sometimes God just allows that pain to happen until it gets our attention. Another one is to teach us to depend on him. To teach us our dependence. What was that first principle that we caught? Realize I'm not God, right? But teach us that we got to really depend on God. And I'm not talking about just Sunday mornings from 10:30 until 11:45. I'm talking about, are we really depending on God to make it through the day? I mean, there are some times I'll lay down in bed at night and like, I just have to say, God, thank you for just helping me get through this stinking day. Because it was so hard. And apart from him, I wouldn't make it. And so am I just depending on him to make it through the day, to depend on him? Again, the Apostle Paul, and you could read this guy's history, Paul. You can read his litany about how many times he's been shipwrecked and left for dead and beaten and hungry. And I mean, like literally, you could read, if you're going through anything tough in your life, you can look at this and go, wow, okay, so I don't have it so bad. Now, again, I don't want you to compare. I'm not speaking out of both sides of my mouth. I don't want you to compare, but I want you to like be enlightened, so to speak. Because he says, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. So that's the present tense. He will continue to rescue us. But we got to recognize our need for him. We got to depend on him. And then one of the last reasons, to give us a ministry to others, which goes right back to this principle number 8 of yielding ourselves. He's going to allow some of this pain in our life just because he has, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, has chosen to use us to help bring healing and wholeness and restoration to the world. Again, Paul writes, you intended to harm me, not Paul, I'm sorry, in Genesis, we see you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Here's the short story of that. There's this guy named Joseph, and his brothers sold him. You think you have problems with your siblings. They sold him. And when you read Joseph's story that goes in a great amount in Genesis, I mean, he is sold, He overcomes that in a sense, and he ends up in Potiphar's house, and he's like this cool, like second in command assistant, and Mrs. Potiphar kind of has eyes for him and then accuses him of stuff that he didn't do, and then he gets thrown in jail, and then he gets left in jail, and then he gets forgotten, and people say, well, I'll tell about you, and they don't tell about, I mean, we just see like time after time after time, you're like, dang, can this guy just catch a break? And ultimately, we see at the end of his life, he says this, that you intended to harm me to his brothers, but God intended it all for good, that God who saw past time when his brothers and his father so absolutely needed him because there was a famine in the land and he had the power to feed them, that provision was there. So sometimes we just can't see what God sees. And so he's going to use us as ministry to others. And then Paul says he comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, he will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. So sometimes, one of the reasons I love Celebrate Recovery, because Celebrate Recovery kind of relies on wounded healers who are dealing with their stuff. Not that they've just overcome it all, but they're dealing with their stuff, the hurts, the habits, and the hang-ups, so that they can find hope and help and healing in the midst of their stuff. So how do we use our pain to help others? When we yield this, how do we do this? How do we ultimately help others? Well, first thing is we realize that we have to, because 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 says, if someone asks you about the hope about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in gentle and respectful ways. So we got to be able to tell people. Like, we got to be able to talk to people. We got to be able to tell us, like, why do we have praise on our lips, or what has God done in our lives? Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, if another believer is overcome by some sin, gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, as in this way we obey the law of Christ. So God wants to use us, use our story to help other people. And I would just label it this. This is how I label it, is that we've got to know and tell our redemption story. We got to know that. Who were we and who are we? Where have we been and where are we? What has God done in our lives so that we are where we are today? How has God redeemed us? That's our redemption story. That's the, he came while we were yet still sinning to set us right. We got to know our story so we can tell others our story, so that we can help others find this hope and help and healing. So we have to know our story, because our story, sometimes with other folks, that's the place they're going to grab on for a little bit of hope or a little bit of help or a little bit of healing. And then God will use that for amazing things. So we got to know our redemption story. And then what we see from that passage in 1 Peter and Galatians, we got to be humble about it. In other words, we got to recognize where that healing has come from. We got to be real about it. Hey, this is where I've been and this is where I am. Again, shame is one of the worst things in life, because it keeps us from finding healing. And so we got to be able to say, hey, this is where I've been and this is where I am today. So we got to be real. We got to tell people. And we got to not lecture them. One of the things I love about this program, again, Celebrate Recovery, is that we invite people to tell their story. And you know what? It's kind of one of the best therapeutic places, because what you learn when you go through therapy is, like, the therapist really doesn't tell you a whole lot. They get you to talk. They get you to tell your story. They get you to talk about what's going on. And so we want to provide that avenue and that opportunity in Celebrate Recovery for people to share their stories, to talk about their stories, to share their struggles, so that it's in the midst of that sharing and telling that, man, we discover amazing things. And it's a place where we find God at work. So we got to know our redemption story, and we got to be able to tell it humbly. We got to tell it real, and we got to not lecture. And so here's where it all comes down to, in this yielding ourselves to be used by God. And this is what I so appreciate, these words from Acts 20:24. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. I want to share with you, just honestly, there for me. I used to, many of you know that I have this life verse, John 10:10, that God wants us to have abundant life. And often I've said, you know, to folks, what do you want to hear God, like, say when you stand before him? Well done, good and faithful servant. But this one's begun to take on some really new meaning for me. I mean, check that out. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. That's not just what he has asked me to do, But that's what he's asked you to do as well. For you to tell about the wonderful grace of God. Because he doesn't want us to stay stuck in our stuff. He wants us to find hope and help and healing. So we have to tell. We have to use words. We have to be people living the gospel, the good news. So how do we wrap this up in a nice little present? And the problem is you can't really wrap it up in a nice little present. But it's the question that I want to ask you. For those of you who might be sitting there going, this is for you. Or maybe, while I've been talking, maybe some of you kind of looked over at the other person sitting next to you and you're like, I know this is for you. When what the other person sitting next to you maybe should have done is hold up a mirror and go, and it's for you too. Because see, it's in this sense of this coming clean. It's in this sense of having a real relationship with Christ where we find healing and we find hope and we find help. See, God wants us to move through life with our eyes on him, gaining victory upon victory upon victory of the things that separate us from him and from others. And he says to you and to me, is that where you want to be? Do you want to endure or do you want to prosper? Do you want to experience enough or do you want to experience abundance? And so he says, so what do you want to do about that? And so that's my question for you. What do you want to do about that? Maybe today, right now, right here in this place, maybe you are here right now today because God's saying to you, it is time. It is time for you. It is time to begin that healing process, to take that next step, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the beginner and the finisher of our faith, so that you don't have to be where you've been and do what you've done, that you are moving to this better place. And that's what I want to offer you the opportunity to do this morning. So I want to invite you to close your eyes. Everybody in here, because I don't want you to look at anybody else. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to be really honest. Because no one's looking. Eyes are closed because it's just where you are right now. I want to ask you. If you have a hurt or a habit or a hang-up that you know God's been speaking to you and he wants to bring grace into that and mercy into that, would you just raise your hand? If you have a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up, maybe it's apathy. Like on a 1 to 10, your relationship with God is about a 2 right now because that's the amount of time you give him. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's resentment. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's fear. Maybe fear is grappling with you right now. Maybe there's a lot of stuff from your background that has caused a whole lot of hurt. Here's what I want you to know. God wants to bring healing to those places. He wants to set you free, and he wants you to experience the abundant life that he has for you. And so in the same place, with your eyes closed, I want to invite you, if you're willing, to just open your hands, just in a bodily posture of recognizing your need and your dependence upon God, holding your palms up, and admit to him that you need him. In the quietness of this place, say, I need you. I'm hurt. Life is feeling helpless and hopeless. And I need you. And then would you say, in the quietness of your heart, would you come? Would you bring healing? Would you bring hope? Would you bring help? If you were honest and transparent enough to pray that, here's the good news. God is faithful. He is faithful. He can do abundantly, exceedingly, immeasurably more than what you can ask or imagine. And he wants to bring help and hope and healing into the broken parts of your lives. But you have a choice to make. You have to fix your eyes somewhere. If you fix those eyes on Jesus, I guarantee you, God's going to do some amazing things in your life. If you take your eyes off him, you're going to stay stuck. Or it might even get worse. But Lamentations 3:23 says, God's mercies are new every day. So every day we have the opportunity to start new, to start afresh. Doesn't mean that all the consequences are gone, because there are just consequences on this side of eternity that they're just going to linger. But in God's eyes, you are forgiven, and he is there to help you. And so the appropriate posture, as we have come clean and admitted our stuff, and we have said, Lord, I need you, then the appropriate posture is that we open our hands towards heaven in an attitude of gratitude. And we say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you have done, for what you are doing, and for what you will yet do in my life. Help me to use what you have done to tell my redemption story, that the world might come to know you, that you would use me in ways I can't even begin to imagine, whether it's at work, speaking to a colleague, at school, sharing your story, being a listening ear. Use me, God, to help share the good news that in you we have forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life. And we will give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, for in all things, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen.